As you think about the world that we live in today, look around the world that we live in today, and I would have to say that there are two different kinds of people that we have in the world today. There are the... How would you finish that sentence, by the way? If I say we live in the world today and there's two different people that are in the world today, there are the and the... What would you say? I mean, there's all sorts of different ways you could finish that sentence. There's the males and the females, right? I mean, those are two very different kinds of people on this earth. I mean, you look around the world today, there's two different kinds of people. What are there? There are the lovers and the haters, the haves and the have-nots, right? There's the Dolphins fans and then everybody else who's got some sense about things in life. I mean, when you think about, you know, what is there out there today? There's the tall and the short, two different kinds of people. You got the pretty and the ugly. I mean, I don't. When you think there's two different kinds of people and they are the and the I don't know how you finish that sentence. You could do it a lot of different ways. Here's how we're going to finish that sentence for the purpose of this lesson this morning. There's two different kinds of people in this world. There are the consumers and there are the contributors. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by that there's some people who are a consumer and some who are a contributor? Well, let me define for you those terms the way that David Sproul is using those terms this morning. Not the way that Webster defines them, not the way that Wikipedia defines them. I did not even look them up in either of those trusted sources. This is how I am using those terms this morning. All right, this is a David Sproul, March 27th, 2022, only usage of these terms, perhaps. What's a consumer? The way we're going to talk about that term this morning is a consumer is those individuals who are, you know, they are satisfied and would even prefer it to let other people do what needs to be done. Especially if it helps me, benefits me, and maybe if it even helps the whole, that's how I am going to use and define that term this morning as a consumer. People who are ready to let other people do what needs to be done. So how do you think I would define a contributor? Contributor is just the opposite. Contributor is an individual who is not on the left side of the screen, but is on the right side of the screen and is willing, and not just willing, but would actually prefer and would actually desire to do the things that need to be done, particularly if doing so would help somebody else out. Now, when I say there's two different kinds of people in the world, there are the consumers and there are contributors. Would you say those are two very different kinds of people? As you look around the world today, they are all over the place. When you go to work tomorrow, guess what you're going to find? Consumers and contributors. When you go to school tomorrow, guess what you're going to find? Everywhere you go, you're going to find a consumer, and according to these definitions that I'm using this morning, a consumer and a contributor. So I want to ask you today, which one are you? Are you a consumer or are you a contributor? You see, it's not that we find these kinds of people all over the place. Believe it or not, we even find them in the church. There are Christians today who might be defined as consumer Christians. Individuals who are happy to let others do what needs to be done. And then there are those kind of Christians today who we could define as contributor Christians. Christians who would like to be the ones who actually get out and do the things that need to be done. Which one are you today? You're one of these kinds of Christians today. Which one are you? As we go through this lesson this morning, what I want you to understand is that not one single time, I'm going to use the word consumer and the word contributor a lot, but not one single time am I going to talk about and use the word contributor to talk about what you put in the basket on Sunday morning. That is not what this lesson is about, so just check that out of your mind. Some people think when they hear the word contributor in a church setting, oh great, he's going to talk about money this morning. He's going to talk about giving and how much I give, and so I'm just going to tune him out right now. Guess what? I'm not going to use that term ever that way in this lesson to talk about how much you give. That's not the purpose of this lesson this morning. But are you a consumer Christian Or are you a contributor Christian? The reality is, do you understand that the Bible warns us about being a consumer as a Christian? I want you to think in your mind, are there any warnings inside of the New Testament that warn us about being a consumer as a Christian? The passage that was read in John chapter 6, Jesus warns us about doing that very thing. There were people following Jesus in John chapter 6. Jesus says, not because you want what I'm saying, and not even because of the miracles that I'm doing, you're following me because of the loaves that you ate and you were filled. What kind of followers were they? Consumers, quite literally in that sense. Consumers. That's what they were after, is what they could get out of their relationship with Christ. Jesus warns us, don't be that kind of follower. In fact, Jesus advises us in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35 that the most blessed life on this earth is not the consumer life. The most blessed life on this earth is the contributor life. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And Jesus would liken for us in Matthew chapter 7, the closing verses of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus would liken for us an individual who hears what he needs to do, but he chooses not to do it. Jesus says that man is like a fool who built his house on the sand. He knows what he needs to do, but he's okay letting other people do what needs to be done, and he's not going to go and do it himself. As I thought about this lesson over these last few weeks, and this is one of those lessons that's been cooking for a few weeks, one of those lessons I wanted to make sure was just right before it was preached. So I thought about this over the last few weeks. I tried to think, is there anything in the Bible? Is there any warning, just a clear warning to us about not being a consumer as a Christian, not being somebody who's okay just letting others do what needs to be done and just kind of sitting back? A passage that came to my mind, it's in the teachings of Jesus in the book of Matthew. And it's right in the middle of a chapter. And as I thought more about it, I began to realize it's not just the middle of this chapter that Jesus addresses this, but it's the entire chapter, 46 verses from beginning to end, where Jesus contrasts being a contributor and being a consumer. I want you to look in Matthew chapter 25 for just a couple minutes. Matthew chapter 25, Jesus vividly contrasts for us and therefore vividly portrays to us the danger of being a consumer Christian, especially when the day of judgment comes. This chapter can be divided up into three sections. The first 13 verses of Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells the parable of the 10 virgins. There were five wise virgins, five foolish virgins. What was the difference between those individuals? The five wise virgins were prepared for the coming of the bridegroom because they had brought oil with them. They had done everything they needed to do to get ready for the bridegroom's coming. Five foolish virgins? No, not so much. They had not prepared for the bridegroom's coming. And when they didn't have enough oil, what did they do? They expected the other people who had prepared to do something for them. They were the consumers. They were expecting others to do the work. The contributors were okay doing the work, but consumers thought, well, we'll just rely on other people to do what needs to be done. Jesus says, these five were not ready when the bridegroom came and were not able to enter in with him. There's a difference between being a contributor, being a consumer. Begin in verse 14 and go down through verse 30, and Jesus tells the parable of the talents. You have the five talent, two talent man, you have the one talent man. But this parable is not about how many talents they had. It's not about how talented they were, how much was gifted to them. This parable is about what they did. The five talent man and the two talent man were contributors, the way we're using that term this morning. They were contributors in the fact that their master had given unto them certain talents, given unto them certain things for their care. But what had they done with those talents that were given to them? They took them and they worked them. They were contributors. They did what needed to be done in order to give it back to their master when he returned. What about the one talent man? Not so much. The parable is not about the fact that he was only a one talent guy. That's not the point. The point is that what was given to him, in the same way that the five and the two were given, this man was given something by his master, and what did he do? He did absolutely nothing. He was a consumer. He took it, hid it, buried it, saved it for when his master would return, But he did not get out and work. He did not do what was necessary. And when his master returned, his master said to him, "You are a wicked and lazy servant. You were a consumer and you didn't do anything." Said to those 5 and 2 talent men who had gone out and worked, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The last 16 verses of the chapter, Jesus pictures for us the judgment scene, where he brings those righteous in on his right hand. He brings the unrighteous in on his left hand. You begin reading in verse 34, and he says to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And they say to him, Jesus says, they say to him on the day of judgment, why do we get to come in? Why are we so blessed to get to enter into your presence? And you begin reading verse 35, and you go down through verse 40, and the Bible tells us the reason. Jesus says, "I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was naked, you took me in. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, you came and visited me. You contributed to me. You gave to me when you gave to others. You did something." But you begin reading verse 41 to those on his left hand, when he says, "Depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Why, God? Why, Jesus? Why are they being cast out into everlasting fire? "Because I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me drink. I was naked, you didn't take me in." What's going on? Here were individuals who were consumers. Did not act. Did not do. Did not serve. And by not doing that, verse 46 says, these went away into everlasting punishment. A whole chapter depicting for us the difference between being a consumer Christian and being a contributor Christian. The Bible warns us not to be a consumer as a Christian. And at the same time, the Bible commands us to be contributors as Christians, to be those who will get out and do the work, to be contributors to the cause of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, the Bible tells us, "Therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, be immovable, be always abounding in the work of the Lord." Be a contributor. Be somebody who's not sitting back and waiting for others to do the work. Get up and do the work of the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says, "If anyone will come after me," if anybody wants to be a Christian, if anybody wants to be a follower of Christ, he's got to deny himself. Get rid of your consumer mentality. "Well, I'm going to let other people do this for me." Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Whatever hardships, whatever difficulties come your way because of the fact that you want to be a follower of Christ, because you've given up your consumer mentality, take up those hardships and those difficulties and follow me. For he who would lose his life, Jesus says, he'll find it if he does so in Christ. The passage that was read in John chapter 6 not only warns us in verse 26 about not being a consumer Christian, not being somebody who just follows the Lord for what we get, but the Lord tells us in verse 27 to labor for that which endures to everlasting life. Be a worker. Are you a worker? Are you a contributor for the cause of Christ? But not just contributors for the cause of Christ, contributors for the good of other people. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 31, the golden rule. Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, "As you would that men would do unto you, do," two-letter word, "do unto them also." Do we do for the good of other people? Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, "As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men." Get out and do for the good of other people. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus told the parable of the good Samaritan. And he gets to the end of that parable and he asks those critics of his, he says, "Okay, let me ask you, which of these men in this story, which of these men was a neighbor to the man who fell among the thieves?" And they answered and said, "The man who showed mercy." In Luke 10 and verse 37, Jesus said, "You're right, now go and do likewise." We're to be contributors to the cause of Christ, doers. We're to be contributors to the good of others, doers. We're to be contributors especially to the good of our brethren. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially to those of the household of faith." Doing that which is needful for their good, Chapter 5 and verse 13 of that same book says, through love, through agape love, I am to get down and to serve my brethren. That's a command of God, to serve one another. Chapter 6 and verse 2 says to bear one another's burdens. That's all about being a contributor as a Christian. It's all about finding opportunities where I can do good unto my brethren for their good. Think about all of the one another passages throughout the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 tells us to consider one another. How often do we do that? The Bible warns us, don't be a consumer as a Christian. Don't be somebody who's satisfied and even prefer to let other people do what needs to be done as a Christian, especially if it benefits me. But the Bible commands us to be a contributor, to be somebody who's not just willing, but actually desires to get up and to do what needs to be done. I want to ask you again this morning, now that we've seen some warnings in Scripture and some commands in Scripture, I want to ask you this morning, which one are you? Are you a consumer as a Christian? Or are you a contributor as a Christian? In order to help us to answer that question this morning, I want to ask you a series of questions today. Thought about how do we bring this to a place where it's not just David saying things, but questions that are asked to get us to think, to apply, to evaluate ourselves. And what I want to do is I want us to just think about in three separate arenas this morning. Three separate arenas. Am I a consumer or am I a contributor? And I want to challenge you. This has challenged me as I've put this together over the last 3 or 4 weeks. I want to challenge you to think about these things. I'm going to throw all of these questions on the screen. I thought about just reading them off, but I thought it'd help you to see them as I read them. You won't have time to write them all down. They'll be on the website tomorrow. But the first arena that I want us to think about this morning is in the matter of worship. And in the matter of worship, are you a consumer? Are you a consumer when it comes to worship? Well, maybe some of these questions will help us to answer that. Do you often find worship services boring? Do you often leave thinking you didn't get anything out of it? Do you not enjoy the preaching of God's Word in worship? When you are in worship, are you often concerned about the length of the sermon or the length of the worship? Do you only come to the morning worship and you have no desire and never give a second thought to ever coming to any other services, evening worship or our Bible classes? Do you ever consider staying when we have an early afternoon worship like we did during our gospel meeting? Do you get tired of singing same old songs every time we come together? Do you think there's too much dead time during the Lord's Supper and we need to speed it up and get rid of that dead time? Do you spend much of the worship service doing something else, like reading a novel? You know, tablets and electronic devices are really handy, and they've made it really easy to just sit and worship and read a book, and nobody knows that we're reading a book. Scrolling social media, playing a game, texting with our friends, making a list for the week, a to-do list, a shopping list, a grocery list. For those men who lead and serve in our worship, do you draw attention to yourself, or do you make sure the attention is kept on God? Are you one who can usually justify just about any reason for missing worship and not being here? Do you enjoy and even prefer watching services online rather than being here in person? You know, when we watch things at home, we are consumers. When we sit and watch our television, we are consumer of whatever is on the television. It is very difficult at home to be something other than a consumer. It's very difficult at home to be a contributor to the things that are happening in worship. If you're still watching online, but you get out and go other places and you do other things just fine, Are you being a contributor or are you being a consumer? Do you ever think about the impact that your absence has on others, including your own children? You know, it interests me that when folks are not here, they don't realize how much they're missed. And when folks are not here, they don't realize how much their absence impacts the people who are here. You are missed when you are not here. You may not realize that. I want you to understand this morning, I am not asking any of these questions or saying any of these things to be unfair or to try to unnecessarily put somebody on a guilt trip. I'm just asking questions. You can answer them. When it comes to our worship, are you a consumer or are you a contributor? Remember, I'm not talking about money in this lesson. When it comes to our worship, are you a contributor? Do you long to be here every time that you possibly can? As somebody would say, whenever the doors are open. And when you are here, are you really here and ready to worship? Do you come here with a heart filled with praise that will burst forth no matter what songs are sung and who is leading worship? Do you arrive early just to make sure you're ready to worship, to make sure you don't miss anything, and to make sure that you don't disrupt somebody else's worship by coming in late? Do you heartily sing every song? Do you meditate and read Scripture during the Lord's Supper rather than talking or playing on your device? Do you actively listen, engage, and follow along during the sermon? Do you put something in the basket? Even if it's just the green slip. When we first introduced back in 2019 our online giving, we introduced the little green slip that's there with our attendance cards, and indicated that giving is something as a congregation that the Lord says we do together. It is a matter of fellowship. In fact, the Bible uses that same word fellowship to talk about our giving. And so our elders encouraged us that if we started giving online, to use that green slip to indicate that we have given something, so that when the basket is passed, we all have an opportunity to put something in the basket so that we give and have fellowship with each other. Do you put something in the basket so that we can all enjoy that fellowship of giving together? Do you visit with and positively engage with members and visitors before and after worship? Do you know how encouraging it is to see members who have to use walkers, wheelchairs, oxygen machines to be here, especially when they could have used excuses that so many others readily use to miss worship? I am thankful. I am thankful for every member who comes here with a walker or a wheelchair. I am thankful for everyone who drags along an oxygen machine so that you can be here. Lynn Jorgensen, I didn't know if I was going to mention your name publicly or not, but you are an encouragement to all of us when you are here. Because the rest of us could so easily stay at home and say, nope, I'm not going to drag that oxygen machine down to worship. Some of you can remember Harold Pack being here. When he couldn't walk, he'd come in on his scooter. When he couldn't breathe, he'd have his oxygen machine on. But he was not going to miss being here. Some of you can remember Ruth Milton being here, sitting on that back pew and saying, you know what, I'm going to hurt. I can hurt at home, or I can hurt here, but I'd rather be here than to be at home. Do you know how much it means when you have to get up 4 hours early on a Sunday to get yourself ready and to get somebody else ready to be here? Do you know how encouraging that is to the rest of us? Are you a contributor? When it comes to our worship, God wants us to be a contributor. He tells us to assemble. To assemble. Watching online is not the same. It's not a substitute. God tells us to assemble, and when we assemble, He tells us to worship, not just be here. Check one if I'm here. He tells me to worship. Worship is not just a thing. Worship is not just a place. Worship in the New Testament is an action verb. It's something that I do when I get here, and when I am here, I need to edify my brethren. I've got a responsibility to my brethren when I am here. First and foremost, my worship is vertical to God, and I'm praising Him. But secondly, it is to encourage and edify and build up my brethren. Singing to one another, edifying one another, building up one another. Brother and sister in Christ, when it comes to our worship, let's be contributors. Let's do all that we can to make our worship all that it can be, individually and collectively. Secondly, and even briefer than that, when it comes to the work and the activities of the church, are you a consumer? Do you participate in anything of the church other than Sunday worship? Are you a regular critic, second guesser, and even ridiculer of things the elders do? Do you think that the deacons should do their work differently? Do you listen to announcements about activities? You see the bulletin, but you choose not to join in any activities that could involve you. Do you do anything more in evangelism than contribute money to the church or to various mission works? Have you ever reached out to a lost soul with an invitation to the church, with information about New Testament Christianity, with a request to study the Bible? Have you ever volunteered to an elder or deacon to help with a project or a special need? There's a whole lot of questions that could be asked, but when it comes to the work and the activities of the church, could you be identified as somebody who's just a consumer, somebody who sits back and is okay and actually prefers to let other people do what needs to be done? Or when it comes to the activities of the church, are you a contributor? Are you participating in as many activities outside of Sunday worship as you can? Do you thank the elders and deacons for the work that they do? Do you regularly look for opportunities where you can be involved in the work and activities of the church? Do you enjoy trying to reach out to others with the gospel? And you see, go and teach, that Jesus tells us to go and teach. You see that as a great joy and a great opportunity. Do you encourage other members? Not just are you involved, do you encourage other members to get involved in the activities of the church? Are you a contributor to the things that are happening in the Lord's church? Somebody says, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know where I can get involved. Well, one of the questions here is, can you go to an elder or deacon and ask them and volunteer to get involved? But a few years ago, we put together this little blue sheet, and there's copies of it on this back table as you leave, called 99 Things You Can Do for the Lord Without a Program. You know, churches need programs to function, but sometimes programs don't function the way they should, and sometimes programs just need to die so that other programs can take their place and be alive. But there are 99, there's more than that. We just came up with a nice number. 99 things you can do for the Lord without ever being involved in a program. Read through this. Find some things. I can do that. Not because you've got to sign up for it. 99 things I can do to be a contributor to the work of the church. That's what I need to be. When it comes to the work and activities of the church, I don't need to be a consumer. I don't need to sit back. I need to be somebody who's active, somebody who wants to be involved. I need to be someone who makes the church my number one priority. Not a close number two. Jesus didn't say a close number two. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I need to be a Christian who labors diligently. Look at the word labor and the word diligently in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Not sitting back and okay with others that are doing things, but getting involved in the work of the church with my brethren. And I need to be one who doesn't find my motivation in the elders, doesn't find my motivation in the deacons, doesn't find my motivation in the preachers, doesn't find my motivation in what others are doing, but to find my motivation in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14 says, the love of Christ compels us. That ought to be what drives us. Jesus hanging on that cross ought to drive us, compel us, motivate us to be more and more involved in His church than we've ever have been. Again, I don't say any of this to say to any of you who are working your guts out, you're not doing enough. And I'm not saying any of this to say to those who struggle with life that you need to get over yourselves and get more involved. But I am looking at Scripture and seeing that God says when it comes to the work and activities of the church, I need to be a contributor. Finally, what about in service to one another? In service to my brothers and sisters in Christ, am I a consumer? Maybe these questions will help us to answer that question. Do you wait for others to do something for you? Do you expect others to do things for you? Do you complain, saying that nobody ever does anything for me? Do you complain, saying nobody ever calls to check on me? Do you complain, saying nobody ever sends me a card? Do you complain that nobody ever invites me over to their house? Do you justify your inactivity on the apparent inactivity of others? Do you compare the efforts you make to the efforts that others make? Do you compare what is done for other members to what's done for you? They do more for them than they do for me. Do you keep track of how other members seem to mistreat you, and you have a list that you keep track of? Have you disengaged from the church and from members because you don't think anyone likes you or because you got your feelings hurt? The questions could go on and on. When it comes to serving each other, are you a consumer or are you a contributor? Instead of saying nobody ever does anything for me, do you make those calls? Do you send those cards? Do you invite people? Instead of saying they're not doing it for me, are you doing it for them? Do you find joy in simply doing unto others? Do you find joy in doing good for others even if no one ever does good to you? Do you find joy in doing good for others who cannot do for themselves? Do you find joy in doing good for others who are not the nicest people in the church sometimes? I don't know who that would be. Do you find joy in doing good for others who are not really the folks that you particularly like to hang around, but do you find joy in doing good for them? Do you find joy in doing good for others who cannot do you good in return? Do you find joy in doing good for others even if they never know it's you doing the good to them? When it comes to serving one another, are you a contributor? That's what God calls us to be. He calls us to be contributors. God calls us as His children to love everybody in the church, to love them all, not the ones who are easily lovable, but to love everybody in the church. Our responsibility is to humble ourselves and to put others' needs above our own. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5. 3, 4, and 5. And our responsibility is to not wait around and see what others will do for us. Our responsibility is to take the initiative. The golden rule is all about take the initiative. As you want others to do unto you, don't wait. Go and do unto them. In John chapter 13, when there was nobody there to wash feet, nobody there was going to wash feet. Why did Jesus get up and do it? You think Peter leaned over and said, "Hey, Jesus, I think it's your turn. I did it last time. It's your turn, Jesus. Time for you to get up and wash feet." Do you think that's why Jesus got up to wash feet? You think John said, "We're going to take a vote. Who thinks Jesus ought to wash everybody's feet?" "Yep, it's unanimous, Jesus. All right, we took a vote. You get up and wash everybody's feet." No, it's Jesus taking the initiative, not waiting for somebody else to do what needed to be done. Think about how many consumers there were in John chapter 13, 12 of them, and how many contributors there were in John chapter 13, one of them. Consumers always outnumber contributors. May God help us to be contributors. When you think about Jesus, which one was He? You know the answer. Jesus was the master contributor. A verse that summarizes this entire sermon is in Matthew chapter 20 and in verse 28, where the Bible says, Jesus says, the Son of Man did not come to be served. He did not come to be a consumer. He came to serve, to be a contributor. Jesus did not come to do His own will. He came to do the will of God. Jesus came not to receive. He came to give His life for us. Amen. And on the day of judgment, when we stand before Jesus, the master contributor, He will judge us based upon what we have done or not done in the body, and He will not judge us based upon what others have not done. I know this is a heavy lesson. I know this is a lesson that you hear it and you think, wow, I'm kind of depressed now. I'm kind of feeling bad about myself now. That's not the purpose of this lesson. The purpose of this lesson, as I read through John chapter 6, is Jesus says, don't follow Me and be a consumer. He says, get up and be a contributor. Labor for that which endures to everlasting life. Brother and sister in Christ, which one are you? May God help us to determine from this day forward, I'm not going to sit back and be okay letting others do what needs to be done. I'm going to step up and actually want and desire to do whatever needs to be done in worship, in the work of the church, in serving others, whatever it may be. As you think about your life this morning, are you a Christian today? Are you a faithful Christian today? Have you done what the Bible says you need to do in order to be saved, in order to be ready for the judgment? In order to be ready for the day of judgment, I've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. With that faith in my heart, I need to repent of the sin that is in my life. The sin that put Jesus on the cross was my sin. And I need to say, I don't want to sin anymore. I want to stop doing what's wrong. And I want to start doing what's right. That's what the decision of repentance is. If you're ready to make that decision today, you can do what they did in the New Testament. Confess the faith that is in your heart and be immersed this very day for the remission of every one of your sins. To allow the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to wash away your sins. To be buried with Him into His death, Romans chapter 6. So that His blood can wash away your sins. To be raised to walk a new life in His church, walking faithfully with Him. Are you a faithful Christian today? If you're not, we plead with you. Get your life right with Him right now as together we stand and sing.